It's Friday, and it really is Friday. You're listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a teacher of computing at Our Lady's Catholic High School in Preston. Except today I'm not in Preston. Today I'm in Coventry. Coventry in the United Kingdom, which includes Scotland, because this morning we've heard the vote that the majority of Scotland have voted no. Anyway, I'm here down in Coventry for the PyCon UK conference. I first came to PyCon back in 2011. That was my first foray into the world of PyCon, or PyCon UK. And I was one of only probably two teachers at that very first conference back in 2011. And now here we are in 2014. And today I think I'm probably going to be one of about 50 teachers altogether. So these teachers now every year are growing and growing in number. And partly that's due to this gentleman here. Tell us who you are.
Hello, I'm Nicholas Tolovey.
And Nicholas, are you a teacher?
I used to be a teacher. I was a secondary head of music for most of my 20s.
Not a teacher of computing?
No, I was a music teacher. And now I'm a professional Python programmer.
But I suppose if you're a music teacher, you're kind of teaching programming in another form.
In some sense, I guess you could say that. So, yeah, we were following instructions and things like that. So, yes.
Now, I have a hunch that you've spent a good many hours planning things that are going to happen today.
Yes, far too many hours.
So you must be a little bit excited as well to see things are going to develop in the way you want.
I'm really looking forward to it as well.
So you're expecting about 40 teachers or so today?
Just over 40.
Yeah.
So 20 of them are student teachers or NQT teachers, and they are attending because we had a grant from the Python Software Foundation to pay for them to come along.
Ah, okay.
And another 20 or so are attending through the support of Bank of America, who were very generous to pay for their places as well.
So we've got a whole variety of workshops and activities planned?
That's correct. Yeah. We have some introductions to Python for teachers who aren't that familiar with it. We have various experienced teachers and master teachers demonstrating what they do in the classroom with Python. We have the Raspberry Pi Foundation education team here who are going to be showing us what you can do with the Raspberry Pi and Python. So it's all very exciting. We've also got actually the main PyCon conference with 300 odd Python developers. And they're going to be hanging around and helping as well. So it's a good opportunity for teachers to talk to Python developers. And this afternoon, we're going to be developing resources together. So teachers get to ask developers, how do you do this? And developers can explain things. And developers can say, I always thought it'd be cool if I learned this at school. And teachers can say, well, the way you might go about teaching that is this way. And together, they'll cook something up and see what happens.
So today is Friday.
Yes.
And PyCon UK runs for 4 days.
So that's right.
Are teachers going to be here over all of the 4 days?
Well, they could be because theirs is a full conference ticket. But the education focused days are Friday and Saturday. So today is all about the teachers. And tomorrow we have 70 kids joining us for some adventures in programming.
And this is like a jam? Like a Raspberry
like
Jam?
Like a jam, like a Raspberry Jam, yes, that's right. And we have lots of developers and teachers and robots and I don't know what happening. So it's going to be an awful lot of fun.
Great. So, still at PyCon UK, and we're mid-morning now, we're just having our break. And it's bustling, there's loads of teachers here. I've counted about 50 altogether so far. And we've just had sessions for teachers who are new to Python, teachers who are already a little bit experienced. And I've just bumped into James Robinson, who I've met a couple of times at the Cambridge Raspberry Jam, mm-hmm. the CAS conference, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So, James, are you a computing school master teacher?
Yes. Currently running some courses. We just did one on App Inventor recently and got some Raspberry Pi ones upcoming, hopefully in the next few months.
So you're a teacher in a secondary school
yeah.
in Cambridgeshire?
Yeah, in Soham.
Okay. And
How did you start on your journey into computing? Were you a computer science graduate?
My background, it was originally computer science, and then I moved into teaching. I've done a few years in a middle school working with younger children, always sort of trying to push the sort of robotic side of things and coding. When I moved up to Soham, it happened at the same time as the change in the curriculum, so that was quite fortuitous. And then we've just sort of got our first year 11 cohorts at the moment going through. So we've done 1 year of year 10. We've got a second cohort coming through. We're starting to do more things at Key Stage 3. And it's going well. It's slow but steady, and we're getting there.
So you already had computing in your blood.
Oh, yeah. Total geek. Yeah.
Yeah. So you run courses for teachers. Mm. How have these gone? Have you had lots of...
They've gone fairly well. In Cambridgeshire, we have a few issues in terms of getting people out of schools. The funding isn't particularly great, but we've had a few good courses, and I've just been on a course actually last week, talking to the Science Learning Centre to deliver some more courses in the area as well. So
if somebody's in Cambridge and they need support, they could get in touch with you.
Yeah, they can go in touch with me. Yeah, my Twitter handle is @jrobinsonuk, and I'm just James Robinson at Computing at School.
And you've recently been on one of the PyCademy courses that's been run by the education team at the Raspberry Pi Foundation.
I have, yeah.
Was that the best CPD you ever had?
It was simply the best 2 days I've had for ages, not even just CPD. It was amazing to go and recap loads of stuff, to meet up with loads of like-minded people, and then just to hack about and play with things on the second day. It was fantastic.
And I've seen today some of the alumni from the PyCademy are here, like Christine Harvey, Sway Grantham.
Yeah.
So... was it difficult to get out of school to get to PyCon here today?
It was slightly challenging. It's always difficult, particularly this time of year is a bit difficult. But I do empathise with people that do find it difficult to get out of school. It's not always the easiest thing to do.
And what are you hoping to get out of today?
For me, it was really a case of just a touch base at the start of the year with loads of people, refresh a few skills. So the object-orientated session we've just done was really good. Not teaching A-level, my object-orientated program's a bit rusty, so that was really good. And just really to network, to meet people and go back with loads of good ideas and really energised again.
Are you using Raspberry Pis in your classroom?
We are, yes.
Yes?
Yes.
In what capacity?
So last year we got a set of Raspberry Pis for Key Stage 3 for delivering initially Sonic Pi, and then we're going to roll out a few other projects over the next year, hopefully. And at the moment, all of my Key Stage 4 pupils have purchased their own Raspberry Pis. They bring them into school, they take them home. And so, for example, our first project for the year 10s has just been flashing an LED. And it's pretty simple, but the kids get a lot out of it. You can lead them to lots of sort of binary conversations and data types and that kind of thing. So, yeah, using them quite a lot and hoping to do more physical stuff with the kids as we go through the next 2 years. So,
and also, if people wanted to know like how you went about this, they could also... post messages on the CAS community forum, and then because I've seen you replying to messages on there as well.
Yeah, so there's the CAS community forum, and also the Raspberry Pi education forum is really good, very friendly, and kind of all the certified educators have a commitment to trying to support other people who are starting their journeys as well.
Well, thank you, James. And you said you're on Twitter
@jrobinson-uk.
Thank you, James.
Super, thank you.
So that was James talking about PyCademy and PyCon and all things that start with Pi. And if you're at an event where there's lots of Raspberry Pis, there's a couple of people you might expect to meet. You'd probably expect to meet this young lady.
Hello.
And this young man.
Hello.
And we have another young man as well. And your name is?
Ben Mansbridge from the Canal and River Trust.
Ah, okay. So we'll have a little bit of a chat about... we're in the queue for dinner. So... So, Alex, what have you seen happen so far today at PyCon?
Well, being with the education team with Raspberry Pi, mainly fiddling with setting things up, was obviously very manic to start with, and then obviously seeing teachers get stuck in and start to learn how to use Python, Raspberry Pis, and programming in their classes.
And what people might not have seen was this morning at 7 a.m. there was this empty room, and then we unloaded vehicles and we filled it with screens and keyboards and mice and SD cards. And then you kind of clicked your fingers and the Raspberry Pi education team had just transformed the room into a a classroom. Have you been, Kerri-Anne, have you been doing any teaching today?
I have. I've been running a session on physical computing using Pibrellas and motors, so it's getting teachers started with robotics, which has been a lot of fun. It's very chaotic. There's lots of teachers here, which is very exciting. In comparison to 2 years ago when I was here, it was just a handful of us. So it's really nice to get teachers and developers together, you know, hacking and doing stuff.
That's right. You just reminded, I'd forgotten, we had like a classroom with sort of 30 people in and maybe 6 or 7 teachers, and now we've nearly 10 times that number here.
Amazing.
So, Ben, are you a teacher yourself?
I'm not a teacher, no, but my wife is.
And is she using the Raspberry Pi in any way in her classroom?
We have one at home. She doesn't use one in the classroom. She's teaching 4- and 5-year-olds. So I was just wondering what the opportunities are for her to use.
So, Kerri-Anne, are there any opportunities for using a Raspberry Pi? Are there resources available or anything?
There are lots of resources on the raspberrypi.org website. They are completely free to use. They are even Creative Commons share alike. We don't even put any restriction license on those. There are lesson plans, schemes of work for teachers to use. There are just tutorials to get people started.
And that's for all ages of children.
Yeah. All ages, so using Scratch GPIO or using Python, some is physical computing, some is just, you know, learning how to, a little bit about programming in general, but so much on there, so much fun stuff, like building a robot butler, or creating a hamster party cam disco.
Was there something about a grandparent scarer?
Yeah, we have
something?
A grandpa scarer as well that drops a spider out of a box when you press a big red button, fart detector.
Do you ever get any questions, like somebody say, oh, can I use these materials, but can I change them or remodel them in any kind of way?
I'd really like people to ask me that question so I can say, yes, please take them, remix them, make them better.
So that's, I've asked a question. Okay. So, and how would the facilitators, is it like a... Is something like a Word document or something that they download? How does that work?
So at the moment, they're all hosted on GitHub, in GitHub repositories. They display really nicely on our website. You can just print them straight off the website, or if you're on GitHub, you can fork the repos and change them up in that way.
So because they're on GitHub, that means anybody can download them, share them, remix them, and share them again, the remixes.
Very much so, yeah.
Do you find, now that you've been, is it 3 sessions of PyCademy that you've run? Is that stuff, are we on the...
Yes. So number 4 is about to happen.
Okay. Do you find that you're refining the delivery and changing it slightly to go along?
Not just refining it, but also changing some of the sessions that we're giving. So this one coming up, it will be the first time we run a robotics session, which we haven't done before, because we're really listening to the feedback of our teachers in the wider community, what they want to learn about. And we're trying to add that all the time.
And I imagine when this teacher sat there, much as what you had this morning, that you're going to have some teachers who've got like computing science running in their blood, because they've probably got a lot of experience, and then you'll have other people who are a bit possibly intimidated, like, ooh, how do you get across that?
So I think it's really important at PyCademy that we have a real mix of abilities, and we have a mix of primary and secondary. We have people who have used Raspberry Pis lots, and we've had people who have never used them. Some people have never touched Python in their life, and some people who have done quite a bit. So I think it's important to mix those people together and get them to share good practice, share their experiences, and actually that's when amazing things happen.
Now, am I right in thinking there's a PyCademy coming up at the end of September?
Yes, so last 2 days of September. There's a few places left. The application form is still open if anyone can get out of school for it. But otherwise, the next one after that is October half term. We deliberately try and put one on in half term. The application form's still open for that one. And there may be something special coming up in November.
Ooh, okay. Well, Kerri-Anne, lovely to talk to you. Alex, lovely to talk to you too. And Ben, good luck with your Raspberry Pi things that you're going to do in the primary school. Okay, thank you. So, still at PyCon, enjoying the education track. And we've just actually got to the end of the Friday. And here, we're in the corridor track. And I've got Martin O'Hanlon.
Hello.
Hello. I've just realised, O'Hanlon, O'Donoghue. Is it an Irish name or...?
You've only just realised that.
Yeah, I just always think of you as Martin.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. My family actually come from the Isle of Man.
Ah, okay. So they're kind of half Irish and half English, with them being in the Irish Sea.
Yeah, being stuck in the middle of the sea.
So, Martin, you're not a teacher.
No.
And I think it's great that non-teachers come to these events for teachers, But I always like to say, why? Why would you come? Because today's a Friday. You would normally be working today.
I would normally be working, and yeah. I have taken a day off to come here.
So it's not only, you know, it's cost you money. Yeah,
it has yeah. cost me money. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes, yeah. I mean, so.
Has that just dawned on you?
No, no. Yeah. Yeah. The key reason I come here is because I enjoy it. I actually really like engaging with people. I find engaging with teachers, particularly guys here who are really keen to learn and are actually really keen to understand what's been going on. And I actually just really like showing off the stuff that I've done.
You've got a really nice style. I like when you're presenting because you don't seem nervous or anxious, and you seem so energized by the things that you like Minecraft. You led a session earlier on Minecraft, and I was looking around during that session. The teachers were silent. They were just watching, like, "Whoa, this is incredible! What you can do."
Well, yeah, I think there's probably two. there's one of two reasons for that. Either they enjoyed the content, and I do honestly feel like if you present anything on Minecraft, it is a bit like shooting fish in a barrel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people love it. Right? Yeah. It's a very easy subject to present on and try and enthuse people with. Yeah.
So do you class yourself as a computer scientist, or?
Yeah. So yes. Yeah. For most of my adult life, that is what I've done. Right. That's, you know, I have a job, and that's what I'm paid to do.
But developer is the word that people tend to use.
Yeah. So there's an interesting thing here, which I haven't been a developer, a mm-hmm. professional developer, for nearly 10 years. So I haven't written a production line of code for getting on for 10 years. From a work perspective, the reason I stopped being a developer was because I wanted career progression. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But actually, I missed it. Yeah. But what I've been able to do is have a little hobby.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in that everybody needs a hobby, particularly, you know, everybody needs a hobby which they can do themselves. It's great to have team sports and to go with them, but I think it's also important that you can go inside yourself a little bit and do something for you.
From the other things
exactly.
in your life,
the
ironing and the cooking,
And that's what coding represents for me now, which is why I like to do
escape
fun stuff.
Or release.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why I like to do fun stuff.
So what appeals to you about Minecraft? You said shooting fish in a barrel. Have you done that in Minecraft?
you can't shoot fish, but you can fish for fish.
Yeah.
So why is it? I mean, the reason it appeals to me is it is so open. You choose to do with it what you want to do with it. Yeah. The kind of very simple premise of you are left in a world and you have to survive. I like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love
in the survival mode. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but but you're in a world. Nobody's giving you rules. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just do what you want. Yeah, and I think that's quite refreshing particularly from modern computer games, mm-hmm. which tend to be very scripted. Yeah. And the API is brilliant because you can do very complicated things with very simple API.
So you're talking about the link here between Python and Minecraft on the Raspberry Pi.
Exactly, So the programming you can do with Minecraft on the Pi through a very simple API, but you can do very complicated mm-hmm. things with it. I love that.
Yeah.
I love simple achieves complex. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because actually simple is really easy to instill in people and to get people enthusiastic about, because there's a very, very small learning curve.
And there's two key things as well, I think, that appeal to me about Minecraft. Well, one is, if you're teaching text-based programming, it can become very dry and sort of self-absorbing after mm-hmm. a bit, like to get lines of text to appear on the screen. But to be able to actually make things in a world move or change appearance, that can be quite a motivating factor. And then the other thing that appeals to me, I think about it, is the fact that for years we've seen these kind of like tomorrow's world kind of thing, like this is in the future, we'll have these virtual realities. And for me, it's the first sort of real virtual reality, if we can use that word, that everybody can access and make use of, where when people talk about things like, well, Oculus Rift and this, they're still beyond the reach of most people, but Minecraft certainly isn't.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. And I like it as a user interface mm-hmm. as well, particularly, you know, if you're going to try and get somebody to have a go at programming. Yeah. I remember writing my first Hello World program, black screen, white text. Wow. Mm-hmm. Right. Believe me, I was much more excited the first time I managed to make a block appear in mm-hmm. Minecraft. Yeah. Because it was nearly real, you know, pseudo real. You know, I could walk around it, I could touch it, I could destroy it if I wanted to and create another one. Yeah. I think it represents a really good and engaging user interface.
Do you worry that now that, you know, this week it was reported that Microsoft have bought Minecraft and Notch was say, you know, wrote this kind of resignation post saying like, well, there you go. And Herobrine doesn't exist. You know, this kind of thing. Do you worry that Microsoft might try and change this in any way to the detriment? You know,
do I worry about it? Yes, certainly. Yeah. The bit that I worry about is not that they'll change the game, mm-hmm. is that they will stifle the community that's been built around it. Right. I actually have big hopes that it will be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Minecraft has reached a epic scale. Yeah,
without having a big global organization behind it.
And I don't know. I think Xbox, Microsoft have done good things with Xbox Live. It is a good online community for playing games. Yeah, if they can deliver the rigor of Xbox Live but maintain the community that you have with Minecraft, I can't see how that's a bad thing.
And the thing that Notch was saying in his sort of resignation thing was he never ever imagined for one moment, kind of in his sort of humility, modesty, that it would grow to the size that it has, such the point that when he started changing things or suggesting things, people, no, you can't do this, that's wrong. And he was then getting grief from the community that you know, this thing, he's created a monster almost in doing so. So it's Minecraft's got fantastic potential, but some people don't really know where to get started. And you've got these videos online, and you know, last year I'm grateful you spoke at the Raspberry Jamboree. We put that video online, and that's had thousands of people have gone to visit it. But have you ever considered putting any sort of practical resources together that people could, like, you know, read or anything like this?
Yeah. Alan, I love the lead-in, and onto the shameful plug. Myself and David Whale,
who's at Whaley Geek on Twitter,
at Whaley Geek, have written a book called Adventures in Minecraft.
So is this like following on from Carrie Anne's adventures with the Raspberry Pi?
I'm not so much, maybe follows on, but certainly in the same style.
Right.
Yeah.
Little cartoon drawings,
a picture that doesn't really look like me, but still a brilliant picture. Yeah. Very much in that kind of style of small adventures. Yeah. With a goal at the end of them.
Achievable objectives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Leading up to a kind of big project at the end. Mm-hmm. So that should hopefully be coming out sometime in November.
Is it possible, like, all these projects, are they like easy to complete, or does it get?
Certainly every adventure gets, let's say, progressively a little bit more difficult. Yeah, but the first eight are kind of broadly the same size. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last one being the big one at the end of it. They do stand on their own, but there is a progression, obviously, through the book. And we start simple, you know. We start by finding out the position of your player, and then we.
Are you in the world?
Where are you? But also, kind of fun programs to create a little welcome home game. So every time you arrive at your house, it says welcome home. Leading right up to integrating with electronics, creating a detonator button. So press the button, it counts down: 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom. Big explosion.
We had something like this last year on the Saturday, the Jamboree, but we actually had real pyrotechnics outside. So when something was detonated, I don't know if you saw this, this was Andrew had it. So detonated something in Minecraft, and it actually detonated something in the real world.
Yes.
I think I read something the other day from David Whale, was saying there's like a challenge in the book that may not yet be complete, and they're looking for people to come with their own solutions. Is that right? Or have I misread something? There was like an activity or something. They're looking to see what kind of solutions people might create and that they might share these. No.
I can draw kind of some similarities. Yeah. The book works, and throughout the book you'll find numbers of challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah. So say, I suppose we give you half the answer.
Right.
Yeah. Or let's say 80% of the answer. Right. And then kind of challenge you to challenge you to take it further.
Right.
The big adventure at the end of the book is creating your own game in Minecraft. Yeah. Now that is very extendable, and I would love to see what people do with that.
Yeah. This is what because this appealed to me, because Minecraft, is not so much just the software, but it's about the community that are built around Minecraft, because Minecraft is all about sharing and stealing to an extent And that's why I thought, I love the fact that the book is then encouraging and inspiring people to go out and try and share and steal solutions to this.
Most definitely. And I would love to see how people take the chapters further.
Right, Martin, it's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
If people are listening to this, they can find you on Twitter. It's at Martin O'Hanlon.
It is at Martin O'Hanlon, and you can visit my blog, stuffaboutcode.com.
That's great. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.